Good morning to all of you. Bless you in the name of Jesus. Children, you may go to your classes. So you just go through the doors in terms of the facilities. If you are not familiar, go through the doors. The classrooms are there. And also the toilet facilities as you go through the doors is on your right. Thank you. All right, before I start the sermon, I just want to introduce Pastor Ann. Please stand. Great to specially welcome her. Now, actually, Pastor Ann is supposed to preach today. I got it mixed up. I thought it's next Sunday. So, I'm... Yeah, so today is a pre-introduction to Pastor Ann. She'll come next Sunday to preach. So we really like to welcome her in the house of God. All right, today I'm going to preach from the book of Isaiah. It's a very few verses, a short text that I want to pick from. And then we're going to hear what the Lord has to say today. So if you have the Bible, please turn with me to Isaiah chapter 56. We'll read from verse 6 to verse 9, please. So, the book of Isaiah, chapter 56, verse 9 to verse 12. Thank you. All right, verse 9 says, "All you beasts of the field come to devour, all you beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yes, they are greedy dogs, which never have enough. And they are shepherds who cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his own gain. From his own territory, come, one say, I will bring wine, and we will fill ourselves with intoxicating drink. Tomorrow will be the same. Tomorrow will be as today and much more abundant." So let us pray. Father, I come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, I avail myself as your servant to speak a word. Lord, I just pray that as I speak this word, Lord, you will anoint me and there will be clarity. And as this word is spoken, Father, it will pierce the hearts of your people. And more importantly, Lord, I pray that you prepare the hearts of the hearer to receive your word. Lord, there is a calling from you in this perilous time. And so I just pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will take this word, will ignite it and use it to accomplish your purpose and your will. And it will not return to you void. So Holy Spirit, come to take this word to glorify the Father and the Son. In the name of your Son, Jesus, and all God's people say, Amen. 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 Now today I'm going to speak about watchmen, and therefore I entitle my message as A Call for Watchmen. Now from the passage that we have read, God tells us what a watchman ought not to be. What an watchman ought not to be. So by contrast, we can learn what a watchman ought to be. Now, as we are living in the last days, we are going to face perilous time. And so God is calling more Christians to rise up as watchmen. And if you look around the current world scene, there is no doubt that the world is on the decline socially, morally, and also spiritually. And this is not a surprise because the Bible has prophesied of such social and moral decline. So, for example, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 5. And it says, "But notice that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemy, or blasphemer, disobedient to parents, unthankful, ungodly, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures, rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people, turn away." And in fact, another message that talks about the spiritual decline, the falling away of the many Christians. And this is taken from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 to verse 4. It says, let no one deceive you by any means. That means that there will be a great deception coming. She said, for that day, what day? The day before the coming of the Lord. He said, will not come unless the falling away comes first. That means there will be apostasy. Many people will stray away from their faith. And he says, the man of sin is revealed, and the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Alright, so this will be the biggest apostasy that the church will go through before the second coming of the Lord Jesus. And many churches actually have strayed away from righteousness and the full counsel of the Bible. And they have preached a compromised gospel, messages that tickle the ears of the hearer. And sexual immorality are being tolerated and accepted in many Christians. And some sin issues are not being addressed. And the message of repentance is avoided. And so during the days, if you can read the Bible, the Apostle Paul, he confronted the sin in the church at Ephesus. And in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3 to verse 4, Paul rebuked the Ephesian church. He's saying, but fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not even be named among you as it is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting. And for it was a strong message from the Apostle Paul during those days. And therefore, this current heresy and apostasy of today will make the heretics of yesterday look pale in comparison. And we are living in perilous time, and many Christians and churches are still not being aware or fully aware. And many Christians are still not aware, due in part to the appalling conditions of the present day's watchmen. And their condition are very similar to the days of Israel, as described in Isaiah chapter 56, the passage that we just read. And for that reason, I've chosen that part of the text as my sermon. Now, this passage is all about watchmen. And so the first basic question that I want to ask is, what is a watchman? And what is his or her role? And so now, let me first give you a brief background of the word watchman. In ancient times, people built high walls around the city to protect the major cities and the capital, and from roaming animals, from invading what we call army and also bands of robbers. The limited land size within the capital city surrounded by the wall are not big enough, and they are not conducive for farming to feed the whole city. And so many people have to live outside the main city, and they spend most of their life working on the farm to grow crop to feed the population. And watchmen are actually positioned just on the city wall, and this is what they call, they are on the lookout for any signs of impending danger. And when they spotted a coming threat, they would sound an alarm, or they may blow a trumpet, and all the people outside the city would equip themselves to fend off the devouring animals or robbers. Now, if the attacking, if the enemy is like an attacking army and formidable, then they have to run inside the city to take refuge. And the gates of the city would be closed and the people protected. Anyone who remained outside the city wall when the opposing army arrived was usually captured, tortured, or killed. And therefore, a watchman's job was critical to the safety of everyone that is around him or her. In today's city, besides facing a different kind of physical danger, we also face what I call spiritual danger. And there is a strong need for watchmen. And so the point is, the answer to that question is, a watchman is one who can see danger ahead, sound a warning to the person concerned. Now, let me look at another portion of the Bible And it tells us how seriously God actually view the responsibility of the watchman. This is taken from Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 6 to verse 9. If you have the Bible, please turn to Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 6 to verse 9. All right, he says that, but if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he's taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. And verse 7, so you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. And so what does this mean? Maybe I'll tell you a short modern short story to highlight some of the points about the responsibility of a watchman. Now, there was a young Christian man who knew of a girl, a friend who liked to go to wild parties and quite often. And this girl actually liked to engage in very risky behavior on a regular basis. And so he had a burden and a care for this girl. And he cared enough to warn her of her multiple times that she was putting herself at risk for being raped. But she never listened. And so, unfortunately, one day she was raped. And so this young man actually was likened unto a watchman. Now, he had given a warning to the girl, but she did not take heed. And so the point is this, a watchman is simply required to warn of any impending danger, but he or she is not responsible for what the person concerned chose to do. And so you must know what is your role and responsibility, and so do not be upset if the person concerned chose not to listen to you. And so the next question is, who is called to be a watchman? My answer is, every believer is called to be a spiritual watchman to some degree. Some at a higher degree, some at a lower degree. You may be a watchman for your family, or for a church, or for a city, or for a nation, or even for your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And in a church, pastors and leaders are watchmen over the congregation members. And every Christian is a watchman over some fellow brothers or sisters that he or she is connected with. And in a family, parents are watchmen over their children. Now, a watchman is different from a busybody who likes to meddle into other people's business. So a word of warning for busybody. Please do not disguise and call yourself a watchman, because a watchman is different. He or she has a prayer burden and what you call has a welfare of the person concerned. And often associated with the role of watchman is also the role of an intercessor. I will speak more on intercessor in another sermon. So a spiritual watchman is someone equipped by God to see what others do not see. And in Matthew chapter 13, God says that everyone has been given the ears and eyes. Yet some have eyes, but they do not see. Some have ears, but they do not hear. But the watchman has to be equipped by God to see what others do not see. And he has a unique capacity to see an impending danger or an approaching enemy. The enemy may come disguised or about to slip in, but a spiritual watchman is very alert and blows the trumpet to sound the warning and to tell us the impending danger. So he or she may be given spiritual eyes to see something that is happening in the life of someone or the church. And therefore, in the olden times, the watchman on the walls actually carried with him the safety of the entire city. The city could sleep soundly at night, knowing that the watchman was on the wall. And so going back to the introductory passage that I've read from Isaiah chapter 56, verse 10 to verse 12, the Lord rebuked the watchmen of Israel that they had not fulfilled the assignment to the nation as a watchman. And so God was inviting the beasts of the field to come and devour the land as a judgment. And the Lord had five indictments against the watchmen of Israel. The areas that they have failed. What are the areas? I quickly summarize and then I go through each one of them. First one is blind. Second, they lack knowledge and cannot understand. Third is they are dumb dogs, unable to bark. Fourth, sleeping and lying down, complacent and not alert. And the fifth is they are greedy, covetous and never satisfied, and for their own gain. And so from this indictment or negatives, we learn from God what is required from a watchman. So let me mention the first thing, blind. These watchmen were blind. Many watchmen have eyes, but they cannot see. For example, they cannot see the difference between good and evil. How can we see and guard ourselves against this spiritual blindness? It is not by seeing through our intellect or through our personal opinion. The only way is to see through the lens of God's Word, the Bible. The Bible, the Scripture, is the final authority on all matters of truth, morality, and issues of life. Whether they are good or evil, whether they are right or wrong. That is why 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 says, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It means it tells you what is right, what is wrong. And so when you look at the current morality issues of the day, why is it that the number of Christian pastors and leaders support the same-sex marriage? And lately, about this fluidity of sexuality, because they are spiritually blind. They did not see things based on the Bible. And Jesus says, if the blind leads the blind, then both will fall into a ditch. Secondly, they lack knowledge, and they were without understanding. Now, we not only need knowledge of the Bible, we also need to keep up to date on the current events and understand how it relates to the Bible and the church. Only then we can be effective watchmen of a church, a family, a city, or watchmen of some fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. The Lord says through the prophet Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6, He says, my people are destroyed from the lack of knowledge. And therefore, knowledge and understanding is a requirement for a watchman. The third indictment, and metaphorically speaking, he says, these watchmen are like dumb dogs. During the times of Israel, the leaders of Israel are supposed to be watchmen. But these watchmen refuse to bark, to give warning. And so God rebuked them through the prophet Isaiah. He called them dumb dogs, mute dogs. And to understand why the phrase dumb dog is being used here, we need to relate to the imagery of a shepherd and his sheep. And in a farm, a shepherd who looks after a flock of sheep has a guard dog to help him. The guard dog is supposed to keep an open eye and bark when she senses any danger of predator approaching. And similarly, some of you have a dog at home to guard your household during the night. And if your watchdog is silent when a thief is about to break in, then this guard dog is worthless and a useless dog. And that's right. A watchman is like a guard dog, supposed to bark when he or she sees any danger coming. So a message to all watchmen, as parents of a family, as leaders and pastor of church, as a watchman over your fellow brothers and sisters, if you sense any potential danger, you are not to be silent. You are to be like the barking dogs and give warning to these people. Remember, you are responsible to give the warning, but you are not responsible for their choice. And so let us ask the next question. Why would some pastors refuse to bark and give warning? I submit to you that some pastors, not all, some pastors refuse to bark because they think that if they bark loudly, the flock of the sheep will be offended, upset, and they'll run away. And for this reason, many contemporary pastors are preaching a cozy and a non-confrontational gospel. And so they will be happy to preach about forgiveness, but not repentance. Heaven, but no mention of hell. About blessing, and no mention of hell. Judgment. The goodness of God, but not about the severity of God. The love of God, but not the fear and the reverence of God. And so it becomes a half-baked gospel of Christianity without Christ. Some modern churches do not want confrontational preaching anymore because it is not comforting, it's not motivating. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you don't preach some motivating and encouraging sermon at all. What I'm saying is you must preach a full and a balanced gospel. Forgiveness and repentance. Heaven and hell. Blessing and judgment. So on and so forth. Preachers who bark are now labeled as old school, old fashioned, not relevant, and out of touch with the contemporary times. How can you not bark when the Bible says our adversary, the devil, roams around like a roaring tiger, a lion seeking whom he may devour? Therefore, sobriety and vigilance are required of every Christian. No one be deceived. The silence of the watchman will only encourage the enemy to be more bold in deceiving and devouring a believer. The fourth indictment, the watchman like to sleep and lie down. Instead of staying alert, watching for the approaching enemy, those watchmen were fast asleep. They didn't care and love the flock, not even their tasks. They became complacent and apathetic. The real affection of their life is sleep, because those religious leaders of Israel had allowed their sense of calling to become complacent. Laziness had overtaken them and destroyed their ability to perform their calling. The fifth indictment, they were greedy. In other words, covetous. The previous indictment was laziness. You add on to it, greediness. And this is a bad combination. Being lazy and greedy. The greedy watchmen are covetous. They prey on the sheep. And for example, there are a number of prosperity gospel preachers who are greedy. They like to scam money off the flock. And all this in the name of God. And one reason why these preachers do not bark much was due in part of their greediness. If they bark too much, people will be offended and leave, and it will affect their finance adversely. And their silence is calculated to bring in more people and more money for selfish gain. And they were concerned with their own interests rather than the welfare of the flock. And so in the next half of my sermon, as a watchman of the church, I would like to give you some prophetic updates and the associated warning. There are three prophetic updates and warnings I would like to highlight to you. Now, we are really living in the last days and closer to the second coming of Jesus than many of you think. I know I have mentioned this many times. My hope is that you do not take this lightly because you have heard it many times. Nonetheless, as a pastor and watchman of this church, I have to continue to sound the trumpet and give you the warning so that you are prepared for his coming. Otherwise, God will hold me responsible for not barking and giving you the warning. Now, before Jesus comes back again, many things will take place. Today, I will just highlight to you three of them. The first one, there will be a one world government, as you read in Revelation chapter 13. And he will be ruled by a world dictator, and he is the Antichrist. This is written in Revelation chapter 13. It says that the Antichrist will cause both big and small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, and all to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And no one may buy or sell except one who has a mark on the name or the name of the beast or the number of his name. In other words, they will need to implement a one world identification system. Now, how far or close are we to the fulfillment of this prophecy? My guess is maybe 10 to 15 years or 10 to 20 years. So, do you know that in 2015, the year 2015, the United Nations had already adopted a great grand plan called the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. And all the United Member countries of the world have committed themselves to work towards achieving this agenda for the year 2030. And in this agenda, there are 17 sustainable development goals with strategies to eliminate poverty, zero hunger, improve health and education, reduce inequality, achieve world peace, and spur economic growth, tackle climate change, etc. Who would argue with this very noble objective? Eliminate poverty, sure, we welcome that. Zero hunger, great. Improve health and education, please do it. And reduce inequality, very good. However, behind these noble goals are some insidious agenda. For example, the United Nations intends to implement a global biometric identification for everyone on the entire planet by the year 2030. And for a start, Accenture, a world-renowned management consulting and technology company, has won a three-year contract to develop and implement a one-world biometric identification system, starting with the refugee under the UN refugee program. They're going to try on them first. And a central base in Geneva, Switzerland, will be collecting data of all these people. Though most media do not publish this information, you can read this in the World Bank website. I've highlighted it for you here. It's called id4d.worldbank.org. You're going to read it for yourself. And so in 11 years' time, the world is moving towards a one-world identification system. And when this is in place, it is easy for a world dictator and the Antichrist to come on the scene to implement the one-world financial system that we talk about. To exercise full control, this dictator will decree no one is allowed to buy or sell except one is fully registered in this one world biometric identification system. It's just like when you go and see a doctor, you need a Medicare card. When you go to a bank to do an important transaction, you need an identification, so on and so forth. This is progressively coming into place for the whole world having a common one world biometric identification system. And so the mark and the identification now can be obtained through facial recognition or on the hand. Lots of research are being done on this area, and they're finding that just by scanning your face, they can uniquely identify you. And so this is how near we are to the second coming of the Lord Jesus within one or two decades from now. Related to this prophecy, the Bible also prophesies that there will be a one-world religion. This means that the different religions of the world, whether it's Christianity, whether it's Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, and many others, will be amalgamated as one-world religion. This one world religion aims to appease all the religions and followers so as to what? Eradicate conflict, violence, and terrorism that we are experiencing today. Number one problem. And the purpose, of course, is to achieve world peace. Again, one of the goals of the 2030 UN agenda. And recently, on 8th of February 2019, just last month, Pope Francis and Sheikh Ahmed Al Tayyib, the most important imam of the Sunni Islam, both signed an interfaith universal fraternity document in Dubai. For unknown reasons, most mainstream media of the world have almost been silent or low profile on this event. Looks like they are trying to hide something. And the Pope and the Grand Imam of Al Zahar had signed an historic declaration of universal fraternity. And it's an interfaith covenant calling for peace between nations, religions and races in front of a global audience of religious leaders from Christianity, Islam, Judaism and other faiths like Hinduism, Buddhism, so on and so forth. And there was a concerted effort to make sure that all the religions of the world were present or were represented at this gathering. In this official interfaith covenant document, there is a lot of language about peace. Over and over again, the word God is used simultaneously to identify the Allah God of Islam and also the God of Christianity as the same God. And the document boldly declares the diversity of religion and say it is willed by God. And basically, it's all saying that all the religions of the world are acceptable in God's sight. And that is what we call the ecumenical movement. The world pushing for one world religion. Again, it goes to show that we are closer to the second coming of Jesus than most of us think. Now, if you don't believe, you go to the YouTube, you go and do a Google, and then you will find, you just key in the word universal fraternity. You will find this particular video clip. Last but not least, the third prophetic update and warning is about deception and the falling away. The scripture that we just read, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 to verse 4. And before the Antichrist is revealed, there will be deception and the falling away of many Christians. Many Christians will be deceived and stray away from the faith without knowing. And this is already happening. Some of the current deceptive teaching that you receive in the Christian scene are, number one area, universalism. The belief that all people will be saved, that all ways lead to God and eternal life, whether you are Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, and all, they say, worship the same God. And a number of churches are subscribing to such a belief. And increasingly, more Christians are being deceived into this doctrine. Now, if any believer does that, one is essentially straying away believing in the God of the Bible. One is rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, who says that I'm the only way, the truth, and the life. Now, just to give you an example, many years ago, there was a very famous Australian celebrity, a Christian. I will not mention his name because that's not my purpose. I'm just lasting an example to show that these are real issues. And after becoming very famous, he interacted with many other celebrities from other faiths. And then he come to this conclusion that all these religions lead to the same God. And so he even wrote a song to this effect that all religions lead to the same God, and they are all saved. And so this just shows that how you can stray away from this core belief. The second thing is prosperity gospel. And the belief that God's primary concern is for believers to be healthy and wealthy. Now, this gospel will lead you to covetousness. Progressively, you will not stray on the day one. But after listening, after sitting under the pulpit, under such a prosperity gospel atmosphere, it will eventually lead you to covetousness. And the Bible says that covetousness is idolatry. Very clear. So, just briefly on this, but I'm going to another time say more about this. The third area is the New Age movement. New Age movement is saying that all is God. All nature and every one of you are God. Man is divine. And you just need to be awakened to this fact and reality. And it says that God is not a person but an energy, an energetic force. That is why when you watch a movie, what movie is that? Star Wars, correct. Star Wars, they use the phrase, the force be with you. That's because the philosophy and the teaching behind all those things is New Age. And some of the cartoons that you watch, they have all this phrase. So they are trying to indoctrinate, they are trying to plant all this evil seed into the hearer. So it's a belief system of Eastern influence that emphasizes universal tolerance and moral relativism. And some churches are slowly being seduced into this New Age doctrine. And the next is legalism, number four. I say, for you to be saved, Jesus is not enough. You need to strictly adhere to certain, what they call, works and law that is described in the scripture to attain and to maintain your salvation. Essentially, it denies the all-sufficiency of the work of the cross. And then the last area, which is very subtle, is hyper-grace. We believe in the grace of God, but not hyper-grace. Because hyper-grace is a hype. It's the other extreme. It's the overreaction to legalism. It says that once you are saved, you are always saved. And when you committed any sin, there's no need for confession and repentance. And you can continue to live whatever you like because the grace of God is always there to save you. The goodness of God, the grace of God will lead you repentance. It's not for you a license to carry on, a very sinful lifestyle. Now, I'm not saying that periodically as a Christian, we do not sin. We do sin. But we are talking about lifestyle, a license for a sinful lifestyle. Then you could keep on practicing that lifestyle. You're abusing the grace of God. That is what's wrong with the hyper-grace message. Now, if you buy into all this subtle doctrine, you are beginning to wander from the core doctrine and the truth. And it will progressively lead to spiritual death. Now, you say, where does it talk in the Bible that once you are Christian, you can wander from the truth and then you can lead to spiritual death? If you remember, Brother Nigel talked about this in James chapter 5, verse 19 to verse 20. He says that if anyone among you wander from the truth, leading to spiritual death, we are, as a watchman, we have to turn the sinner from the error of his way, and it will save his or her soul. It is that serious. That's why when Brother Nigel read that verse, he said, wow, we didn't realize that we are life saver. We are watchmen and life saver. We are not only to save the unsaved, we are to save the saved. Because the saved have departed from the truth. One final urgent warning. And this comes from a prophetic watchman. And his name is Jeremiah Johnson. And that is a call, a cry for young people to break away from the video game addiction. Now this prophet was given a dream, a prophetic dream. And in that dream, God was giving him a warning about video game addiction for youngsters. He saw millions of people playing computer video games. And as they did so, the demonic forces would enter into their life and into their home. And God showed him that the spirit of lust, pornography, depression, suicide, and all can be directly connected to this addiction of video games. And this prophet and watchman believe that God is sounding an alarm to all youngsters who spend many hours playing video games. And parents, you need to monitor and warn your children. Young ones are opening themselves to pornography, depression, and suicidal talk. Now, do not underestimate the spiritual implication of playing excessive video game. Many of you just thought that it is just entertainment, it's for fun, to keep the children occupied. Now, it is not. There are a lot of sinister and spiritual things behind. And I'm going to give you a couple of examples. And it was reported in an Australian Daily Mail on 27th of February, just this year, 2019, that a 12-year-old boy raped his 6-year-old sister after playing video game. And when he was asked why, he said he was acting out the sex scene in the video game. Now, many video games have very evil agenda behind. Of course, it will not tell you all those things. But as you go into it, a lot of the evil images will come out. I will show you just one example at the end of the sermon. But this is how it works. When you play all the video games, you are inviting the evil spirit to come into your life. Because each of us, you know, have a free will. And so when you do those things, you are inviting the evil spirit to come into your eye gate, come to your ear gate, and begins to control your life. And when you go into the stage of addiction, you can become like semi-possessed. And for those people who perhaps want to, you know, have some intellectual understanding, what is it about? If I can explain it this way, the devil works by implanting and programming your thought process by the video game. Implant, give you a suggestion, and after many, many images, you know, you become into a bondage, you have no control over this thing, that's when the evil spirit takes over. And that's why you cannot control what you want to do. And so, conclusion. The evil one is targeting every church, attacking Christians and youngsters, and all kinds of evils and deceptions are lurking around to seduce fellow Christians, to seduce your family and your children. And the evil one is scheming on many fronts, to prey on the family, marriage, and also children. And so God is waking us all up, calling us to be watchmen and intercessor. Because perilous days and deception are here. And we all need to rise up as watchmen and intercessor for one another. We need one another. And some of us may have failed to station ourselves as watchmen and intercessor for our family, our church, our city. But we may have neglected ourselves as being a watchman and intercessor. But God is merciful. God is granting us another opportunity to climb upon these walls of our family, our church, our city, so on and so forth. And as watchmen, we must not be blind. We must not be ignorant. We must not lack understanding, nor sleeping, nor be covetous. We need to be watchful, alert, wake up from a slumber, and we need to speak up and sound the alarm to the person concerned, because some lives are at stake. And if the watchmen do not begin to sound the alarm, many people will suffer serious consequences. So brothers and sisters, this is a serious call. And hope that by hearing this sermon, that it will cause us to take action. The Lord awaken us and bless us all.